This is the famous parable of the talents. And I'm going to just start with something to kind of hold in the back of our mind as we get into what I really want to talk about. But one of the main things this parable is about, which makes it so appropriate for Advent, is about what to do while we wait. This parable is about waiting. The Master, the Lord, is gone. And as the Master is gone, the various servants do different things while they wait, And some of them go to work with what they've been given, and that really requires risk. If you've ever invested things, you'll know that they talk about the risk of investing. There's always a chance that your venture could fail, that your crops won't grow, that whatever will just not work. So working and investing is risky business. And the ones that risk are the ones that are rewarded at the end. The other option, instead of working, which requires risk, is to live in fear, which masquerades as safety. And I want to say that this living in fear, moving toward safety, is, at least in this parable, a mistake based on the myth of scarcity. Several weeks ago, Pastor Latia Frazier preached a really good sermon where the myth of scarcity was a key component in what she was talking about. And that myth of scarcity is a powerful thing for us. We believe there's not enough, and so we hold on to and hoard what we think we have. And that is a myth. There is enough resource of any kind to go around. There really is. The problem is more in how it's distributed than whether there's enough or not. And so if we all get out of the myth of scarcity, there's plenty around. My main point here, though, is that there's two ways to wait. One is to work, and one is to live in fear. And the fear, so work is risky, and fear masquerades as safety. The ending of this parable, where the wicked servant is called wicked and he's thrown out, I think that's all there to show us that the safety that that servant thought they were finding in burying their treasure, hiding it, that safety wasn't actually safe, that was the risky move. The dangerous thing is not to work. The dangerous thing is to hoard and to try to protect what is yours. Living as if the myth of scarcity is true is actually the dangerous thing. Just a total side note, kind of a geeky thing. I just finished watching all of the Marvel movies again in order. And at the end of the Marvel movies, Thanos, the bad guy, wants to fix the universe by killing half of everybody in the universe. Because, and the motivation is fear. It's a scarcity. He thinks there's not enough resources to go around. And so you have to kill everybody, so then there's enough. And that's the like ultimate myth of scarcity. We don't need to live in fear. So with all that in the background, how we wait, either working or living in fear, and we're supposed to be working, taking risks, I really want to think about what is the talent. In the version we read today, it was a valuable coin. Other versions I've read say a bag of gold or a bag of money or a bag of silver or whatever. So there's a lot of options for thinking about what this talent thing is. Most of us have probably heard sermons or lessons in Sunday school or something about the talent being what we think of a talent is in English, skills and abilities. To use your talents for God, and we use that word talent as if we would normally use it in English. Talent is a term of that it doesn't mean that in the original at all. It's just an accident of the way English works. And so it's a happy accident, and those sermons are nice and they work, and that's certainly something that's true. But that's not really what the talent is talking about. So the more literal meaning is money. actually, a talent is an enormous sum of money, almost unimaginable, especially to an average everyday person in Jesus' day. Having a talent, even one talent, would have been an enormous sum of money, let alone five or two. So it certainly does mean money, but this is a parable, and so it's not supposed to be about money. And remember, this is 2,000 years ago, before our form of economy even really existed. I mean, they had money and they had coins for certain things, but it was a whole different world as far as economy goes. So we can't really think about it being money. How much money do you have, and how well do you invest that for the kingdom of God? So money is the more literal thing, but it doesn't really work. We could also think about talents as resources. And this is getting to the point, I think, more generally. What do we have at hand? And that might include talents, skills, abilities. It might include money, cash, or whatever. But if we think about a talent as being this super valuable thing, I started thinking to myself, what is it that is super valuable to God? What is it that God considers a resource? And so I decided that this isn't really about money or stuff or talents or even resources in the way that we normally think of resources. Because the currency of God is shalom and chesed. It's the currency of God, what God values, what God blesses, what God wants, are those things listed in the Sermon on the Mount. God blesses the poor in spirit, those who mourn, the meek, the merciful. Remember, I think that behind mercy is chesed, faithful, loving kindness. Peacemakers, pure in heart, people who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. These are the kinds of things that God values. And when you simplify all of those things down into only one or two terms, I always land on the Hebrew word shalom and the Hebrew word chesed. What is it that God values but shalom and chesed? Shalom, remember, is peace, but it is more than just the absence of violence. Shalom is wholeness, rightness. It's a relational word that means things just work right. It is peace, ultimate true peace. And chesed is this really deep, rich word that includes the concepts of love and mercy and faithfulness and enduringness and beauty even. All rolled into this one beautiful word, chesed. And so when we think about what God values, it is shalom and it is chesed. So when we think about the work that we have to do, and remember the punchline to almost any proclamation of the gospel, Jesus has risen from the dead. So, punchline, we have work to do. Someday, Jesus is coming back. Punchline, so we have work to do. Jesus is the Lord of the universe, the King, the Lord, the Lord. This is the theme today in Advent, the Lord. So we have work to do. The work to do is always the punchline. And this parable of the talents helps us know what kind of work we are to do while we await the return of the King, the return of the Lord. And that work is to increase the things that God values. The currency of God is shalom and chesed. We know the work we've been given to do is to increase peace in the world, to increase faithful love, increase mercy, beauty in the world. So we are to be at work. This is the way we wait. We don't live in fear. We don't believe the myth of scarcity, but we work. And we have been given a lot of resources, a lot, more than we can really imagine. And so we should use them to increase shalom and chesed in the world. Now, I want to make sure that we understand whether you think you have a lot of influence, a lot of ways to increase peace and love and shalom and chesed in the world, or if you feel very restrained, if you feel very small, if you feel like you only have a teeny, teeny corner of the world and how can I ever really impact the world, I want you to remember that God values all of the world. All of it, not only the big things and the giant systems, but the little bitty things. Your own family, whatever that might look like. Your own sphere of influence, however big or small that is. That our work is to leave behind more peace, more shalom, more chesed than there was before. God cares about all of creation, the little corners of it and the big ones, and whatever it is that we've been given, 5 talents, 2 or 1, our job is to work to bring more shalom and more chesed. God, would you empower us with your peace and with your love, with your true shalom, with your everlasting loving kindness, would you empower us so that we might work in the world to make things more like you want them, to increase the value, the things you consider valuable in the world. We pray this in your name, our Lord. Amen.